Hey, we're so glad you're here with us today. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and today we're continuing in an inspiring series, When You're Hoping for a Miracle. Now, in this series, Pastor Rick is guiding us through God's Word and showing us how to strengthen our faith and live with greater love, peace, patience, and self-control, even when life feels hopeless. Now, if you've been longing for a breakthrough, you're not going to want to miss this. So let's jump right in. This will be part two of a message from Rick called, When You Feel You're Sinking.
The Bible says no matter what you're going through right now, Jesus is praying for you. He's on your side. If you've trusted Him as your Savior, one of the things He's doing is interceding for you. Second thing Jesus does when you're in a storm, He notices my struggle. He prays for me before it happens. And the second thing is He notices my struggle, the storm I'm going through. The Bible says in Mark 6:48, it says, Jesus saw the disciples straining at the oars. They're trying to keep the ship afloat and trying to get back to shore. They were straining at the oars, and He saw it. He sees where you're straining. Jesus sees where you're struggling. You see, the disciples were unaware that Jesus was paying attention to what was going on in their life, so they got afraid. Because we always get afraid when we think God isn't paying attention. God, you don't even know what I'm going through right now. I'm out here on my own. I'm in the dark, and I'm sinking. I don't know why it is. We know this is true, but you forget. You do it all the time. You forget that God pays attention to every single detail of your life. God knows when you have bad breath. God knows when you didn't get enough sleep last night. God knows when your stomach is upset. He knows when your mind is upset because you just got a phone call that either scared you or freaked you out or worried you or whatever. He knows your emotions. The Bible says He has every hair on your head numbered. The Bible says He knows every detail of your life. Look at this verse. Job 31:4. Job's going through all these problems, and he says, He sees everything I do and counts every step I take. You don't even count every step you take. But God does. That's how detailed He is in your life. In fact, God knows your life far, far better than you do. He notices a growth on your hand before you notice it. He notices something that's out of whack in your life before you notice it. He cares about every detail, and He's paying attention. Now, not only does Jesus see when I'm going through this storm, I'm out of work, I'm going in debt, I'm in a conflict with my husband or my wife or whatever it is, He sees it. He also, this is even better, sympathizes with it. The Bible says this, Jesus is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. He was tempted in every way that we are, but He didn't sin. Why can Jesus sympathize with the storms you go through? Because He went through them. God became a human being. God came to earth. That's what Christmas is all about. God came in human form. And He came as Jesus Christ, and He lived as a human being. So He goes, you're having problems right now? Been there, done that. Because God became a human, incarnation. He knows what it's like to be tired. He knows what it's like to be frustrated. He knows what it's like to be criticized. He knows what it's like to be confused and in the dark and not knowing what's going on. He knows what it's like to have temptations of every possible kind because He says, been there, done that. I was a human being, and so I know exactly, so I can sympathize with you. So when you talk to God about the storm you're in, He's not going, I wonder what that's like, because He's been there. He knows the tension. He knows the tension that you feel in your life. He prays before it happens. And He notices my struggle. The third thing Jesus does while I'm going through a storm is He comes at my moment of desperation. He comes at my moment of desperation. at the very moment I'm ready to give up, that is the time he shows up in my life. Not a moment sooner and not a moment too late. He comes to me at my moment of desperation. The Bible says this, Mark chapter 6. About the fourth watch of the night, he, Jesus, went out to them walking on the lake. Now this verse is filled with truth. So let's take it apart. First it says, about the fourth watch. Now what is the fourth watch? The fourth watch is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. Okay? So these guys are exhausted. They have been fighting a storm now for at least 9 hours. Rowing hard, trying to save the boat, trying to save their lives, and at least 9 hours. Now, let me give you the background again. Jesus, where he'd done the miracle, he puts them in the boat. Bethsaida is only 2 hours up the shoreline. All they have to do is get in the boat. They should have been there 7 hours ago. It's not a hard trip. It's kind of like Gilligan's Island, a three-hour tour. But sometimes a storm comes and you're blown way off schedule. Have you ever had a storm blow you out of the water? Have you ever had a storm blow you off course? Some of you are off course right now. You go, I had no intention of being right here today, where I am now, in my job, in my career, in my marriage, in my family, in my finances. You have been blown way off course by situations you couldn't control. Rogue winds of the economy, rogue winds of other people, rogue winds of people who meant to harm you, rogue winds of people who betrayed you. And storms have come in your life and you have been blown off course. You should be at Bethsaida by now. It's only 2 hours away. It's 9 hours later and you're not only not there, you're miles out at sea, in the dark, all alone, and about to die. And the waves are lapping up against your boat, the waves are lapping in your boat, and the waves are lapping over your boat, and you're scared to death. We've now given up hope of getting to Bethsaida. We just want to get back to safety. But we can't even get there. We've been rowing for 9 hours, and we can't even get back to shore, much less get to the original life goal, life plan that we had set up for our lives. And the storm has blown them way, way off course. So they are simply exhausted. But they're also frustrated because they've worked hard at rowing. And they're, as I said, they're not even trying to get Bethsaida anymore. They just want to get to safety. Some of you had these big dreams for your life and you gave up on those a long time ago. You just said, can I make it? Can I get out of debt? Can I survive? No progress. The same thing that happened to these guys, the disciples, happened to the sailors in the story of Jonah. The Bible says this on the screen, Jonah 1:13. The sailors there, the men did their best, they're in a storm too, did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. And some of you, this perfectly describes your life right now. Your life isn't getting calmer. It's getting wilder. It's getting weirder. It's getting more stressful, not less stressful. And you're trying hard just to, you've given up on the original goal. You're just trying to get back to shore. And you've been working for 9 hours, and you're at the moment of desperation. Now, what does Jesus do when you're at your moment of desperation? I love this. Look at the verse again there on your outline. About the fourth watch of the night, he, read it with me, went out to them. Notice, he didn't say, you guys come to me, because they couldn't get to him. He goes out to them. When you're at your point of desperation, Jesus comes to you. I like that. What a God. He doesn't wait for me to get to him, because I can't get to him. I'm stuck in a boat that's sinking in the middle of the sea. But he comes to you. I love the fact that Jesus did not stand on the shoreline and shout instructions. Hey, try going this way. When you're in a storm, you don't need advice. You need a miracle. Okay? You need somebody to show up, God to show up, and to come out to you. And this is what Jesus did. He went out to where they were. He intervened in their storm. And friends, that's the gospel. That God doesn't stand on the shoreline telling us what to do. He comes out and meets us in our pain, in our fear, in our depression, in our storm, in our discouragement. He comes to us. What a God. You see, you may feel abandoned right now, but you're not. You may feel abandoned, but you are not. The Bible says this in John 14, I will not abandon you or leave you as orphans in the storm. I will come to you. Count on it. Now, two questions. When I'm in a storm and I'm going under, financially or any other way, and I feel like I'm sinking, how do I know he's coming? Because he says so. You say, when's he going to come? I'll tell you, listen, he comes in the ninth hour. He didn't come in hour number two, or hour number three, or hour number four, or hour number five. They had been struggling for 9 hours. Why didn't he come the moment the first little whisk of bad weather come up? Because it wouldn't have been a miracle. And because he wanted to teach them. He was more interested in their character than their comfort. And so he waits to the ninth hour. Why? He's waiting for you to give up your complete self-reliance. When you get to the point and you go, okay, I thought maybe I still 10% of this, I could get it done. When you try to stop making things work on your plan and you give up your plan and your brilliance and your ideas and you say, Lord, I'm totally dependent upon you. That's the ninth hour. At the moment of desperation. And he doesn't come in the fourth hour. He doesn't come in the fifth hour. He comes at the ninth hour. And how does he come? Listen to this. He comes walking on the very problem that scares you. He's walking on the white caps. What are they afraid of? The waves. We're afraid that the waves are going to kill us. What does Jesus do? He just comes walking on them. Jesus is making a point here. I just want you guys to know that whatever's over your head is under my feet. So what are you worried about? Whatever's over your head is under my feet. What are you worried about? He walks on the very problem that scares you. Think about this. Since Jesus created water, it's his idea. God created it, H2O. God thought up water. Since God created water, he can stop water. He can give water. He can get water out of a rock. He can part the water. He can walk on water. He can do whatever he wants to with water because he made it. I don't have any problem with Jesus walking on water. Why? He invented it. And so God is in control of all of the elements, wind, air, sun, sky, land, everything. What is he doing walking on water? He's God. That's what he is. He's God. And that leads us to the fourth thing Jesus does in a storm. He shows me his true identity. Jesus shows me his true identity. You only learn what Jesus is really like in the storms of life. And in the storms of life, you see, he's not a mere man. He's not just a nice teacher. He's not an ethical leader. He is God, the creator of the universe. Mark chapter 6. When the disciples saw him, Jesus, walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. You know, I love this. The word here in Greek, it's a ghost, is the word we get phantom from. Like Phantom of the Opera. It's a phantom. Why? Because you don't normally be in the middle of a river or a lake or an ocean and you're in a storm and somebody comes walking by. That's not our normal perceptions. And so, it's a ghost, they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Now, what is Jesus doing? By walking on water, Jesus revealing he's far more than a man. If the disciples had doubted that Jesus was, maybe he's just a nice prophet and he can do some miracles. Now he's walking on water. He's saying, I'm God. I'm God. And Jesus does three things here. He gives them a reassurance, he gives them a challenge, and he gives them a revelation. He gives them a reassurance. He says, take courage. He gives them a challenge. Don't be afraid. And he gives them a reassurance. He says, it is I. I want you to circle that on your outline. It is I. That's not even really the best translation. Because what Jesus actually says there is not, it is I. He says, I am. I am. That's what he says. In the Greek, it's two words. Ego, I'm a. Ego, I'm a. Ego is the word we get ego from. Like ego trip, it is the Greek word for I. Ego or ego means I. And ego, I'm a simply means I am. And so what Jesus actually says when he walks out on the water, these guys, he goes, take courage. Don't be afraid. I am. I am? What is he saying? I am? What does that mean? I am is the name of God. When Moses asked God, Lord, when I go to these people in Egypt and they tell me that, and I tell them God spoke to me and they say, what's God's name? What am I supposed to say? And God said, tell them, I am sent you. I am sent you. Not, what is I am? God's name is, I am that I am. What is he saying? He says, I am. I'm not, I was, not I will be, not I hope to be. I am. I am sufficient for everything in your life. And when Jesus says, I am, he is saying, you don't need to be afraid. You need to sweat it. I am God. 17 times in the New Testament, Jesus uses the phrase, I am. I am the bread of life. And so I can satisfy all your hungers. I am the door, so I can create opportunities and ways you never even thought of. He says, I am the vine, and you'll only live a fruitful life if you're connected to me. He says, I am the good shepherd, so you don't ever have to be afraid. I'm going to take care of you. He says, I am the way out of your confusion. I am the truth that sets you free. I am the life. You're really just existing till you got me in your life. I am the resurrection. You don't need to fear death. 17 times Jesus says, ego, I am a. Ego, I am a. Ego, I am a. I am. Now I want you to listen very closely. You're in a storm right now. You got economic problems. You're going in debt. You're out of work. You don't need a job. You need Jesus. You don't need a plan. You need a person. You don't need a system, you need a savior. You don't need a new goal, you need God. The answer is not a plan. The answer is not something that you can make up to get you out of the storm. All the plans in the world weren't going to stop the waves and the wind. They needed Jesus. They needed ego, I me. Now, don't you ever forget that when you're going through a storm, God is not some distant, apathetic, uninvolved God. He's doing those four things in the storm that you're in at that moment. But he also has some things he wants you to do. You need to write these down really quick. Five things to do if you're sinking. If you're sinking in a relationship, if you're sinking in your finances, if your health is sinking, whatever it is, you need to do these five things. Jesus gives us these instructions from this story. Number one, have courage because Jesus is with me. That's the starting point. I need to have courage in the storm. Why? Not because of myself, but because Jesus is with me. Now remember what courage is. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is when you move ahead in spite of your fears. If you're not afraid, you don't need courage. Courage is when you do the right thing, even though you're scared to death to do it. That's courage. Doing the right thing in spite of your fear, not the absence of fear. And what you need to do is you need to tell your fears where to go. Don't let them dominate you. In fact, where do you need to tell them to go? Tell them to go talk to Jesus. And when these thoughts come into your mind, you say, sorry, I don't have time to deal with that fear. You go talk to Jesus about this. And just deflect it. Don't ever argue with a fear. You'll lose. Just deflect them and say, fear, get out of here. Go talk to Jesus.
Wow, some powerful words from Pastor Rick. And now this really is one of my favorite parts of the broadcast, letters from our listeners. Here's Rick.
Here's a letter from Catherine, a listener who says that hearing the truth of the Bible on Daily Hope transformed her life. She wrote me this. She said, Pastor Rick, a few months ago, I was angry all the time about everything. My husband was drinking too much, and my marriage was headed for divorce. Years ago, I'd forgotten about my faith. But one day, on my long drive home from work, I changed the station from my angry music, and I found you speaking on Daily Hope on the radio. You know, it was as if through you, Jesus said, oh, you're finally listening, and I have something to tell you. Well, your message spoke directly to me, to my problems, and to my many failures. And you spoke some hard truths, Pastor Rick, that I needed to hear about the things that I was doing wrong and the things that I wasn't doing at all. But it made me look at myself, and I realized that I had forgotten about Jesus. And I was making myself miserable, trying to do everything on my own. I wasn't trusting in God or seeking God or even a relationship with Jesus. But a few days later, after a lot of inward reflection, I shared your words with my husband. You know what? We're now both reading our Bibles again. We're going to church again. We're mending our relationship with each other and with Christ, our Savior. And it is your Daily Hope program that changed our lives and the direction of our lives. Now I'm listening to you on my way home from work every day. So thanks for allowing yourself to be a vessel through which God can work to restore lives and marriages. I was hopeless, but now I'm full of hope and full of joy through my faith in Jesus. So God bless you, Rick, for bringing me back to God. Friends, you may have heard me say this before, that I am addicted to change lives. I am passionate about watching God at work in your life and giving people hope when everything else seems hopeless. It's why we do what we do. Catherine and her husband have now mended their relationship, and they're both reading their Bibles. That is incredible news. The family that prays together stays together. None of this, by the way, would be possible without your support of Daily Hope. It is your gifts, your financial gifts, and your prayers that allow me to teach millions of people every day all around the world about the hope of Jesus Christ. Now, you just heard, people are being saved, lives are being changed, marriages are being restored, people are finding hope. Why? Because of you and your financial gifts and your prayers. So thank you, everybody, for your caring about others and their relationship with God. And if you can send a gift today, please do so. We want to reach more and more people with the hope of God's Word.
Hey, if you'd like to support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, just go to PastorRick.com. Again, that's PastorRick.com. And really, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.